TNB Tech Minute gives you the day's top tech headlines, from the big names in Silicon Valley to the halls of power. If it's making news in tech, we've got it. Check out TNB Tech Minute in the Tech News Briefing feed from the Wall Street Journal.
In a rare move, NATO leaders come down on China. Plus, the sting of the global chip shortage may be felt as new data is released today. And your ID may not be the only thing you need to enter your office.
Many companies are taking sort of a phased approach to reopening and are saying that they only want fully vaccinated workers back at first.
It's Tuesday, June 15th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. Some developing news as President Biden prepares to meet with European Union leaders today. The U.S. and the EU are near to a deal on resolving their 17-year trade fight over subsidies to Boeing and Airbus. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said she is very positive that an agreement will be announced today. The Airbus-Boeing dispute started in 2004 when the U.S. filed a World Trade Organization complaint claiming the EU subsidies for Airbus put Boeing at a disadvantage. We'll keep you posted on WSJ.com. After meetings in Brussels, President Biden and NATO allies warned about China's growing international influence. China is mentioned nearly a dozen times in a lengthy communique that was released Monday. It's a shift from past NATO summits when Beijing was barely mentioned. In a press conference, NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg spoke about the need to engage China on a wide range of issues.
We see that China is coming closer to us in cyberspace. We see them in Africa, we see them in the Arctic, we see them trying to control our infrastructure. We had a discussion about 5G. And therefore, what we do in NATO 2030 is highly relevant also for how to address China with more resilience, with more technology, and all the things we're now going to do together.
President Biden also met with Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan on Monday for talks over security interests around the world. A goal of that meeting was to, in part, help mend diplomatic relations that have soured in recent years. Biden will face a similar task when he meets with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Geneva on Wednesday. Biden spoke about the upcoming meeting at a news conference.
I'm going to make clear to President Putin that there are areas where we can cooperate if he chooses. And if he chooses not to cooperate and acts in a way that he has in the past relative to cybersecurity and some other activities, then we will respond. We will respond in kind.
And the Federal Reserve is set to begin a two-day policy meeting today. Soaring inflation is likely to dominate discussions. Economists and investors are watching whether Fed officials signal a rise in interest rates when the meeting concludes Wednesday. The computer chip shortage we've been talking about is not just an inconvenience, it's expected to have an impact on how much we're spending. Data on May's retail sales is due out today. Let's break this down further with markets editor Quinton Webb. He joins me from Hong Kong. Glad you're here, Quinton.
Hi there, Mark. Happy to be here.
Quinton, we know getting a car is challenging because of this chip shortage. How is this hurting the retail numbers?
Right. So yes, so you can see that car sales figures have fallen because there's a bit of a bottleneck. There's not as many cars coming onto lots as there should be because they can't be shipped because they're lacking the computer chips they need effectively. So if you look at overall retail sales for May, economists expect that figure to actually shrink by about 0.6%. However, if you were to strip autos out of that figure, what you would see is underlying that, or excluding autos, pretty healthy growth of about 0.5% month on month in retail sales.
Broadly speaking, though, economists are encouraged, especially as we look toward the end of the year.
Yeah, that's right. So we are still in the early or mid stages of this very robust reopening economic rebound. You know, consensus is for very strong full-year economic growth in the US of more than 6%. Retail sales is an important component of that. But of course, a lot of what's happening now is that people are starting to spend again on services, and restaurants and bars aside, there's not much of that services activity captured in the retail sales data. But if you look at other data, and the Wall Street Journal story today cites examples based on recent credit card and debit card data, if you look at that, you'll see that, for example, spending recently on things like casinos and gyms and theme parks is all up very steeply as well. So, yes, the broad picture as we go in towards the second half of the year is one of very kind of robust economic reopening driven economic growth.
Quinton Webb in Hong Kong. We'll talk soon. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much.
Just ahead, your employer may now want proof of vaccination before you return. We'll discuss after the break.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
As companies look to start bringing workers back into the office, there's a chance you'll be getting an email or a call from your boss asking if you've been vaccinated against COVID-19. In the past, we've seen employers push their workers to get vaccinated by making personal pleas, even dangling cash or time off as an incentive. But now, some of those efforts are taking a more assertive tone. The Wall Street Journal's Chip Cutter covers workplace issues, and he joins me now. Hi, Chip.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me.
Chip, initially, many workers saw a soft approach from their employers. You get vaccines in your own time. If you don't feel comfortable in the office, don't come in. But the tone appears to be shifting. How are things changing?
Well, I think we're seeing a much more urgent tone from employers right now. You know, I think initially many companies just tried to get the message out that they saw vaccines as important. Now we see a whole number of companies asking workers to provide their vaccination status or rolling out policies that could prevent non-vaccinated workers from accessing the office. For example, many companies are taking sort of a phased approach to reopening and are saying that they only want fully vaccinated workers back at first.
I'm curious about some of your conversations. You've talked to lots of CEOs and other executives. Can you get into some of the specifics?
Absolutely. So Goldman Sachs is an interesting example. The bank last week ordered its U.S. employees to disclose whether they had received the vaccine. And while it hasn't mandated the shots, the company has told staff that fully vaccinated workers who have registered their status can work in the office without masks, while others will have to wear masks in most settings. And we've seen other banks like Morgan Stanley and Wells Fargo also ask employees to voluntarily register their vaccination status. I think what's interesting here is that the first wave of corporate efforts really focused on getting people in frontline roles, think healthcare or those working at airlines or restaurants, vaccinated. Now we're seeing many white-collar employers push for this. And so it's banks, law firms, and a whole range of other businesses.
Chip, not everyone is going to want to get vaccinated. This could cause tension. How far can companies push employees?
Companies have a lot of latitude here. The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has recently said that U.S. employers can require all workers to be vaccinated against COVID-19, provided that they allow for reasonable accommodations for those who might have a disability or religious beliefs that would prevent them from getting a shot. There's also been a number of legal cases in recent days that have also sort of given companies cover to roll out these vaccine mandates. An interesting one is at Houston's Methodist Hospital, which employs more than 26,000 people. The hospital has required vaccines for all of its staff. That led to tension and blowback internally. More than 100 employees sued the hospital. Over the weekend, though, a federal judge dismissed that case and said the hospital was within its rights to require the vaccine. And I think that and the EEOC guidance makes many companies feel that they can be a little more assertive here.
Then there is this even bigger question about how this is going to impact the workforce. Not everyone will be on board. What will this mean for people's careers, whether they choose to get vaccinated or not?
Well, this could, for example, affect when people can go back to offices. Salesforce, for example, the big tech giant, has said that it will initially reopen its offices in places like San Francisco and New York to workers who voluntarily say that they have been fully vaccinated. They'll go in with a cohort of other vaccinated workers, and the office will open later to those who haven't been vaccinated. And we've seen other companies sort of follow similar approaches here. And so you could see that effect, that if you wanted to get back to your office and you haven't been vaccinated, it could affect that timeline. And so I think that's something that many companies and workers are weighing here.
Chip, will some companies just not want to get into this with their employees and basically be hands-off?
Many will. A number of companies say they plan to take the honor system here, that they will not ask people to upload proof of their vaccine cards, for example, that they are not going to ask people for their vaccination status. One example is MassMutual, the big insurer. The company says that they debated asking people to provide proof of vaccines, but decided against it. The CEO said that the company's employees are grown-ups and that the company trusts them to operate within company policies and health guidelines.
The WSJ's Chip Cutter. Thank you, Chip.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, millions of Americans have spent the past year dreaming of the day when we can take our masks off for good. For one state, the COVID-19 pandemic could soon be a thing of the past. On Sunday, Vermont became the first state in the nation to have vaccinated 80% of the eligible population with at least one dose. Our reporter Julie Warnow says the state's hospitals are cautiously waking up from the long global nightmare.
Literally, the lights are out in their COVID wards. They haven't had anyone in them for weeks. They're talking about turning them into other things because they don't need them anymore. And, you know, you have these doctors walking around trying to explain what it used to look like. You know, it's in the past. So they're showing tape on the floor where they used to have to be separated from patients, the air handling equipment to suck air out of the room, and all the signs about donning and doffing all this, you know, PPE. It's emptied of personnel and there's no one there anymore.
And that's what's news for Tuesday. We're back tonight with a new show. Until then, follow the news on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Make it a good one, and thanks for listening.